for details.
Let's get it started in here.
I won't let you down. I will not give you up. Gotta have some faith in the sound. It's the one good thing that I've got. I won't let you down. So please don't give me up. 'Cause I would really, really love to stick around. Oh yeah.
Can you dig it?
News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. It is Friday. Okay, all right.
It is, and you usually...
Good morning.
You usually do...
Well, I hit the applause button.
Oh.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Our studio audience was a little slow to react.
We weren't here yesterday, so it takes a while for the studio and everything to warm up.
Yeah, we're getting recalibrated.
Yeah, it just takes a little bit. It was chaos when I walked in here this morning.
It is Friday, March 15th, 2019, and that means we have your Friday roundtable coming in on the show today. Brian McDaniel, Brian Miller will be filling out the roundtable. Them plus producer Sam will be your contestants in the Friday news quiz happening at 8:35. You can start making your predictions now via Twitter on who you think's going to win this week. Everybody who predicts correctly will be eligible for fantastic prizes.
Also on the show today, we have some big marijuana stories.
Oh, yeah. Stories.
Yeah. No, not.
Not like...
I got excited for a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I apologize. I know it's Friday, but we're not going to get that loose. Well, at least we're not.
Right. I can't speak for Sam.
I can't guarantee... Well, or other individuals of the Friday Roundtable. which, by the way, have we thought about the whole idea yet of who is big marijuana and whether or not we may actually know them?
I don't know. No, I haven't thought about that. But now that you've,
I am now.
Now that you've injected that into my head, I'm like,
maybe we actually know big marijuana. We just didn't realize it.
He was right under our noses. Show. What?
I said maybe.
I am not a big marijuana.
Or big marijuana.
Or big
you
marijuana.
Are not big marijuana. Yeah.
She's Lil Marijuana.
Lil J. Little joint.
Little pot.
Little bong.
What is happening?
No idea.
I'm being accused of a lot of things right now.
also on the show today, we'll talk about the new horrible roads. So it's like the new bad roads. So we had the snow. You know, bad roads,
yeah.
Ice and snow and bumpy. Now that the snow is melting and gone, we have the new horrible roads. And mm-hmm. I get the feeling, because I got a little snippet of this, that Drew has a story to tell at some point in time.
I got a lot of words. got a lot of words. Those horrible roads cost me some money yesterday.
Did you get in an accident?
No, I did not get in an accident.
Did someone in your family get in an accident?
I wouldn't call it an accident. Somebody in my family hit a pothole.
That sounds like a baby accident.
I wouldn't even use the word accident.
Man, there's random potholes popping up.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. Everywhere. I thought Drew was going to say that he ended up, you know, spinning out in one.
I'm actually doing the show from a pothole.
Yeah. There's one that opened...
Broadcasting live from a pothole.
In the story that we have, there's one that opened up on Larpenteur that's so big that the county workers had to park a truck in it. They had to put a truck inside the pothole because it was that big to make sure nobody drove into it.
There's a when I was driving in this morning, coming in on 394. There's, you know, the big MnDOT signs that put the messages up there. It said pavement failure.
What?
Which I feel like is like government speak for pothole.
Yeah,
there's a pavement failure on 94. Past the Lowry Hill Tunnel. So they've got like lanes closed there.
I guess I don't know a lot about science, but is this like what happens this time of year with all the okay.
Yeah,
all the flooding
in
and everything.
The story that we have when we get Drew's full tale, it explains.
You kinda already got it.
Yeah, I know, but I'm looking for the full unleashing of the anger and frustration. I'm very much looking forward to that. No, in the story, they explain very clearly sort of how the roads end up getting bad because of the weather, the heating up, the cooling down, the snow, okay. and how all the plow trucks play into it too. I hadn't even thought about that. They just rumble across and just rips everything apart.
Yeah,
it's bad.
Don't go to St. Paul. I had to go to St. Paul a couple days ago, and the roads in St. Paul, it's like a war zone. I mean, it feels like you're driving through the dystopian future that you see in all the movies. The whole way.
Yeah, it's bad.
Awful.
Oh no.
Yeah, I bottomed out.
In my little Mazda.
Oh,
bottomed
your poor
out because of a pothole.
So how bad was it?
Oh, that was fine. That did not cause any, at least immediate noticeable damage.
Okay.
But no, my family member. I spent yesterday afternoon dealing with tow trucks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No.
That was fun.
It's funny. Oh. We all know each other so well that it was at one point during the day, I was like, boy, Drew's been quiet. Like today. And it wasn't just like even texting me, but it was like also Twitter as well. Like, I wonder if something's going on. And sure enough, I was right. Yeah. Because usually you don't go silent for that long on social networking or texting. I was like, hey, he must be busy just doing something.
Yes, I was dealing with an automotive emergency.
We have Sam's top five coming up. And I know in the top five, we'll talk about this story. This horrific massacre that took place in New Zealand, where a gunman opened fire on two mosques in New Zealand, killing 49 individuals. He live streamed it on Facebook. We'll get to some details on it. I've watched the video. I have some thoughts about it. There's a subsequent story to this. I don't know if you guys are aware. If you go on Twitter, I didn't realize at first, but PewDiePie was trending, okay, and we'll talk about this on Twitter, and it was right underneath the New Zealand shooting. I'm like, what in the world? Will the end of the video, when the shooter gets back into his vehicle, the last thing that he says before he shuts the camera off is, "Remember to subscribe to PewDiePie." So now there's all this ridiculous, unnecessary discussion going on. And people like rushing to PewDiePie. And for those that don't know who it is, he's a famous YouTube star. He's a viral. I don't even know what he does on YouTube.
He plays video games on camera.
Okay.
I think
mostly. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
But yeah, there's all these articles now that have popped up in the wake of this horrific tragedy that took place in New Zealand, of people rushing to PewDiePie's defense, going, "It's okay, PewDiePie, you're not responsible." It's just, yeah, it's really strange. We'll get to more of it coming up in top five, but just an absolutely just horrific event that took place in New Zealand, a place that's it's not really known for this. Sure. This type of terrorism.
Known for hobbits and sheep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We will get to Sam's top five.
3.5 FM.
Representative Tom Emmer will be joining Justice and Drew here on Twin Cities News Talk. Hey, that's us. Coming up right around 7 o'clock this morning, Emmer reintroduces legislation to ensure rights for law-abiding gun purchasers. It's going to be relevant to when we get into the top five this morning. So he'll be joining us right before the roundtable joins us in studio as well. Looking forward to the news quiz later on this morning.
But now this segment brought to us by our friends from Early Bird Electric. Sam scours the internet every morning and finds the top five stories you need to know to kick off your day.
Number one.
New Zealand's prime minister confirmed that 49 people were killed and more than 20 were seriously injured in what she labeled a well-planned terrorist attack that targeted worshippers in two mosques in Christchurch on Friday. Today. From Fox News, the New Zealand police said four people, three men and one woman, were currently in custody in connection with the attack. Investigators later defused a number of improvised explosive devices that were found inside vehicles. It was described, the suspects were described as one principal, two associates, and one person not directly connected to the attacks. She said that the suspects were not on any security watch list. There's an official quote in the story saying, "These are people who I would describe as having extremist views that have absolutely no place in New Zealand. 30 people were killed. That number has climbed to 49 now. 49 people were killed at the Masjid al-Noor Mosque in Central Christchurch, and 7 were slain inside another mosque nearby. Another 3 died outside the Linwood Mosque. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison confirmed that one of the detainees was a 28-year-old white Australian-born citizen. He described the suspect as an extremist, right-wing, violent terrorist. These suspects were apprehended by local police following Friday's attack. Mike Bush, New Zealand's police commissioner, told reporters that at a news conference, there was no motive for the attack that has been determined. Investigators have not ruled out that more gunmen could be involved.
Yeah, and as we mentioned earlier, that one individual, the 28-year-old, live-streamed on Facebook the whole event that he took part in. Most of the outlets have trim the video. So the video shows him in the vehicle arriving at the mosque, and then it cuts, and then it shows him getting back in the video and cuts the middle part out. In the car, he's dressed in full fatigues. He's got long guns in the front, in the back. The car is obviously filled with explosives. He's dressed in black head to toe. I watched the entire unedited video. I wanted some perspective on it. It wasn't a morbid curiosity. It was more just of, I wanted some perspective on this. And the one thing that kept running through my head, and I tweeted this out, is one other person with a gun could have stopped this guy.
Yep.
And in the video, all they could do was run. All they could do was run or cower in a corner. I mean, it was horrific. The evil that men can do. But again, watching it, I'm just going, my gosh, man. You know, you take that situation, you can easily go and move that over to what happened in Parkland, Florida, and no need to rehash all of the breakdown that took place leading up to that tragic event. But again, I just kept going, one person around the corner with a gun, armed, just could have dropped that guy right then and there, and yet, you know, they were absolutely defenseless against this attacker.
The live streaming on Facebook thing is interesting to me, because we discussed a number of times, you know, when will all this live video streaming capabilities and technology be used for something horrific like this, and how will the companies react? And it remains to be seen. I mean, you know, this is still very new. This is still very fresh. You know, the video is being shared, and they're trying to take it down. They're trying to get on top of it. But I mean, once something sort of leaks out there on the internet, it's there, and there's really little that can be done about it. And this is one of those dangerous areas with anybody having the ability to broadcast live over the internet and have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people tune in and watch what's going on without any sort of controls in place or whatever. This is something that it concerns me. We're going to see more of
it. I will say that it took me a little while, not a lot. It took me a little while to find the whole video. It didn't just immediately pop up, because the network, the platforms that have videos are trying to do the best they can to pull it down. The one that I did find was on YouTube, and I know that YouTube is scrambling to pull these videos down as they get posted. Facebook has already pulled down whatever they can. To what you said, though, this is the part of it that I kind of don't get, and I don't want to be conspiratorial. There's no evidence of this at all. We've talked about this before, but that's a pretty long video. Okay. And there's a lot of lead up in that video before he starts going on his rampage. And the rampage goes on for a long time. Okay. I'm shocked that it ended up staying up as long as it did. I mean, I have to imagine that Facebook is able to sort of in real time monitor videos and the attention that they're getting. And I can only imagine that the moment this video went live and people started watching it, I know that when I do a live video on Facebook, for what it's worth, I mean, within a matter of a minute, I can have about 30 people watching, and that's right. Just people that know, you know, this Yahoo. I can only imagine the number of people that were tuning into that video and how quickly that exploded. I'm shocked it didn't get yanked down earlier.
And how quickly anyone watching it would report that.
Right.
for what little that might do, but they would immediately be reporting that.
Yeah, I don't know how quickly, you know, Facebook has the ability to jump in and shut something like that down. I mean, I imagine that once it comes to somebody's attention there, they can do it pretty quickly, but how long does that take? There are thousands and thousands of videos being streamed and broadcast via Facebook at any given time.
Right.
You know, so and the reporting mechanism, I assume, it doesn't just show up in front of a person as soon as you report it. It goes through some algorithms and it's routed here and there. And then, you know, at given intervals, a live person might check, all right, what's in the queue here? You know, what's come in? What's being reported? You know, I'll go through these. I don't know how real time that process is.
This murderer started the video and stopped the video himself. It was 17 minutes long.
Wow.
Oh.
I was just going, how in the world? And again, I mean, maybe not being aware of how Facebook works and how the monitoring works. I just watching this, the two thoughts. One gun could have stopped him. And two, nobody at Facebook noticed the number of, you know, views this thing was getting. And that's where, and we've talked about that before. How much does Facebook go and just let it ride?
I don't know.
You know, I hate to think that way, but
that's a pretty gross thought.
I know it is. You know, I know, but there's a lot of gross people out there.
They might do something like that just to.
I pray that's not the case.
I do too. We will continue with Sam's top five right after this.
Number 0.5 FM.
Twin Cities News Talk, Justice and Drew, as we work through Sam's top five this morning. Brian McDaniel has already joined us in studio for the roundtable, looking dapper.
What an overachiever.
Sam, we can't hear him.
Oh, there he is.
Studio's still warming up because we weren't here yesterday.
It is still warming up.
Do I exist yet?
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, buddy? You're looking nice. You're looking sharp.
Well, I'm wearing my green.
Working man.
Going into St. Patrick's Day weekend.
You don't want to get pinched?
Well, I wouldn't say that. Nobody said that, Drew.
On Twitter, at Talkmaster, which would be the Twitter handle for the blue check mark in a good way, Neil Bortz, former talk show host, friend of ours.
Yep.
He said this in regards to the New Zealand massacre that took place at the mosques. There will always be crazed evil maniacs out there who want to kill in large numbers, and they will always be able to find a gun. Why, then, do we sit back placidly while the left tries to desperately deny us the right to defend ourselves? He's absolutely right, and I'll just say it again. I just, watching that video, my views on your right to keep and bear arms were already firmly planted. This just put those roots even deeper because one gun could have stopped that person.
Well, and you know, I was listening on the ride in, and I certainly agree. But you know, this is an opportunity. Because this isn't something that we can pin on Donald Trump. This isn't something
they already are.
I know, but we don't need to talk about the NRA on this. This is something that we can deal with as people. You know, let's take this as an opportunity to not politicize this. This has nothing to do with us. Let's look at what the real problems are in society from the outside in this instance, and we can actually have empathy without having to defend our own turf.
Well, the problem is though, not to push back too hard, but I disagree from the standpoint of. This is going to be used stateside for this further control, further gun control. And I feel like often we don't get out ahead of it before the arguments start rolling in. Not that they needed any evidence to push further. But yeah, I mean, somebody who wants more gun control can certainly look at this video. When you look at New Zealand gun laws. First passed back in 83. I'm looking at an article here. Still considered more relaxed than many other countries in the United States. Unlike Australia, there is no system of registration for the majority of guns in New Zealand. So we've already kind of gone further than they have in terms of gun rights. And I agree with the sentiment of what you're saying. But at the same time, like Drew said, it's going to get politicized here. So I personally would rather kind of get out ahead of it and argue it as a case for Second Amendment rights and protecting yourselves rather than.
I agree with you. Not only to piggyback off of Neil Bortz's tweet, not only will you know, crazy, evil, violent people find a means, you know, a tool to commit the atrocities that they want to commit, but they'll also find, you know, justification in their mind for the atrocities that they want to commit. And the narrative is already out there. CNN's pushing it. AOC's tweeting about it like crazy, about how these people were radicalized by Donald Trump, were radicalized by the American right. And that, you know, so they're taking this incident that happened in New Zealand, a country with very strict gun laws, mind you, and they're applying it to our politics here and, you know, and making a call to action and trying, and they're already politicizing it in American politics. This happened
in New Zealand. Yeah.
New Zealand. I think people need to realize it's very far away.
Yeah.
Entirely different country.
Well, their political scene is obviously very different. So even if you start applying motivations to the individual, you can't, based off of the way that New Zealand operates in terms of refugees and those that come into the country. That's their own. They're dealing with their own issues. Of course, not a justification at all for what the person was doing.
Of course.
But the attempts to politicize it and try to blame the right for radicalizing these individuals is an absolutely is a ridiculous statement on its face.
Well, and you know, I don't want to be the lefty in the room, but what I would say is, if they say this all the same stuff that they would normally say, and we say all the same stuff that we normally say, what's different? Then nobody learned anything from this. No, the world didn't get better. We're just waiting for the next tragedy, so that way the left can blame guns and we can defend guns. It's not saying that we're wrong. Obviously, we're not, but we're missing opportunities to regain humanity.
Well, and again, to that I would say, then we do need to speak out to keep that balance. I know nothing will change, but the narrative will get pushed. And I don't know. I think all too often we stay too silent on the on some of the issues ahead of time, and it's good to get out ahead of it. But, you know, hey, we're all, it's all good. It's
Let's
all
jump right back into Sam's top five for a Friday.
Number two.
Two rockets were fired at the Israeli city of Tel Aviv last night, triggering air raid warning sirens. From Fox News, sources told Fox News one of the rockets was intercepted by Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system. People living in the area reported hearing an explosion in addition to the sirens. The Israel Defense Forces confirmed in a Hebrew language tweet that two rockets were fired into Israeli territory from the Hamas-controlled Gaza Strip. Israel's Channel 10 News said the rockets were Iranian-made Fyar rockets. It is said one of the rockets were intercepted and the other landed in an uninhabited area, and that there were no reports of injuries. Tel Aviv has not been attacked by rocket or missile fire since the 2014 war with the Hamas militants. There has been no immediate claim of responsibility as of last night. Earlier in the day yesterday, Hamas forces dispersed hundreds of Palestinians protesting dire living conditions in the territory, which has been blockaded by Israel and Egypt since the militant group took power in 2007.
Yeah, these are not uncommon. It's obviously been a while. I remember when that 2014 altercation spun up. The concern when this happens is everyone just kind of sits back and waits. Is this the moment that leads to the larger confrontation that everybody kind of always expects is going to happen, or is this just another chapter in the ongoing story of that region?
There was some rather impressive video floating around of the Iron Dome intercepting the rockets.
It's pretty bad, eh?
Yeah.
It's pretty darn intense, man. It's cool.
Number three.
In a 420-0 vote, the House says the Mueller report should be public.
Have we ever seen that before?
Okay.
At least we can all agree on that.
I mean, everyone's got their different motivations, but everyone's like, yeah, man, can we just be done with it already?
From the Associated Press, the House voted unanimously yesterday for a resolution calling for any final report in Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation to be made public, a symbolic action designed to pressure Attorney General William Barr into releasing as much information as possible when the probe is concluded.
Keyword there, symbolic.
Yeah.
This carries zero weight.
Yeah.
What is the point of votes like that?
Symbolic.
They're just symbolic.
Like, yeah, we really want this.
So let's vote on it.
Well, you're right, and I just,
that's like,
if you're Mueller, what do you do?
Right.
If you're Mueller, you're like, whatever, guys.
It's not even up to Mueller, though.
Yeah.
That's like
Attorney General. And yeah. there are laws dictating what can be released, what can be made public, and what can't when it comes to these sort of things.
Yeah.
There are laws in place that dictate that. Nobody cares because everybody just wants it. They want to get their hands on it. They want to find out. You know, we've all been watching this movie now for 2 years, and we're waiting for the final chapter to be released. We're waiting for Avengers Endgame. You know, and we might not get it.
Well, and I wonder too how much of this is what you said. They all know once Mueller's done, it's going to get leaked. So to me, this feels like hey, before that happens, we'll do this resolution. I know we've got laws in place, but can somebody please make a move to make it public before that happens?
Yeah,
that's what it feels like.
The Democratic-backed resolution, which passed 420-0, comes as Mueller is nearing an end to his investigation. Lawmakers in both parties have maintained there will be some sort of public resolution when the report is done and privately hope that a report shows conclusions that are favorable to their own side. Four Republicans voted present. Michigan Representative Justin Amash, Florida Representative Matt Gaetz, Arizona Representative Paul Gosar, and Kentucky Representative Thomas Massey. I probably mispronounced all of their names. The non-binding resolution calls for the public release of any report Mueller provides to Barr, with an exception for classified material. The resolution also calls for the full report to be released to Congress.
Sam, so you said the final vote was 420-0?
Yes.
So they said that this was a Democratic-backed thing. It sounds like it was really backed by big marijuana.
Yeah, it was big marijuana. Big marijuana. So is anybody else, I don't know if it's irony, if I'm using that right, but anybody else just observe the fact that here we have like the most partisan thing ever in this Mueller report, right? It's just completely divisive. And yet it took the most partisan thing to bring about like the most bipartisan vote like I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Everybody agreed over the most partisan thing ever. I just thought that was interesting.
We'll have Tom Emmer on coming up in the next segment. We'll get his thoughts on this vote as well. So stick around for that.
Number four.
Peter Strzok says Clinton and the DOJ struck a deal that blocked FBI access to the Clinton Foundation emails on her private server. From the Washington Examiner, fired FBI agent Peter Strzok told Congress last year that the agency did not have access to the Clinton Foundation emails that were on Hillary Clinton's private server because of a consent agreement negotiated between the Department of Justice attorneys and counsel for Clinton. That agreement was revealed in newly released congressional transcripts from Strzok's closed-door testimony at the House Judiciary Committee on June 27, 2018. When asked by the then-majority General Counsel Zachary Sommers if the Clinton Foundation was on the server, Strzok testified that he believed it was on one of the servers, if not the others, but he stressed that due to an agreement between the DOJ and Clinton, they were not allowed to search the Clinton Foundation emails for information that could help in their investigation.
In what world does that seem normal, rational, and right? The DOJ is investigating Clinton, then they strike a deal with the person they're investigating to say, no, you can't look at any of these emails. Like, who the hell made that call inside the DOJ? Well,
and a deal, what did they get for it?
Exactly.
I mean,
didn't get a guilty plea.
Yeah, you don't give something up without getting something for it. And what'd they get?
This whole
sounds like nothing.
This whole thing is so ludicrous.
They got to stay alive.
There's another report out that's floating around that. So. The FBI had and members of the FBI had testified that Christopher Steele, the former MI6 agent, was the one who wrote the dossier. It's in testimony. Mm-hmm. There's information going around now that there's evidence that he did not write it, that it was not Christopher Steele who actually penned the dossier, which of course is raising the big question: who did? Maybe a person who constantly is asking, what happened? Just wanted to throw that out there.
Imagine if like the DOJ strikes a deal with the Trump administration, you know, to have some trove of documents from their campaign and from their election be exempt from the Russia investigation. Imagine the heads
people
that would
go wild
if that deal.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
Number five.
The Senate joined the House in voting to terminate President Trump's border emergency declaration. The president has promised a veto. From Care 11, the Republican-run Senate rejected President Donald Trump's declaration of a national emergency at the southwest border yesterday, setting up a veto fight and dealing him a conspicuous rebuke as he tested how boldly he could ignore Congress in pursuit of his highest-profile goal.
As boldly as he wants. He's got the veto pen, unless they can override it. Yeah. There's nothing bold about it. It's...
How bold.
He's just vetoing something.
Mark Dayton did it all the time. The Senate voted 59-41 to cancel Trump's February proclamation of a border emergency, which he invoked to spend $3.6 billion more for border barriers than Congress had approved. 12 Republicans joined Democrats in defying Trump in a showdown many GOP senators had hoped to avoid because he commands diehard loyalty from millions of conservative voters who could punish defecting lawmakers in next year's elections.
They could, but they won't. This will be forgotten. This is not going to be remembered by the time the election rolls around.
With the Democratic-controlled House's approval of the same resolution last month, Senate passage sends it to Trump. He has shown no reluctance to casting his first veto to advance his campaign, his goals to build the wall, and it seems certain Congress will lack the two-thirds majorities that would be needed to override him. Trump told reporters in the Oval Office, "I'll do a veto. It's not going to be overturned. It's a border security vote."
Well, and I think, Drew, to what you said, I think there's some factors that still are in play here. Are there challengers in those particular places for the individuals that voted against this? How far does Trump end up getting in building the border wall and getting funding with this? So I think there is still a possibility that when it comes time to vote again, that this could still, depending on what happens with the wall and Trump's attempt to build it, I think there could be negative ramifications for those individuals that Republicans don't forget rhinos very, very often. I mean, a lot of that depends on whether or not there is challengers to those individuals in those seats and if they're up for re-election or not.
Excellent job, Sam.
Thank you.
Stellar top five as usual, and thank you to our friends over at Early Bird Electric for sponsoring Sam's top five.
Representative Tom Emmer is going to be giving us a call here in just a few minutes while we fill out the round table. We'll get his thoughts on what was mentioned in Sam's top five of that Mueller report being public House vote and also the shooting down in the Senate of Trump's emergency.